This is 103.3 WZND's Bird's Eye View, here to give you a comprehensive look at the Bloomington Normal community's most important issues. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Bird's Eye View starts now.
Welcome back. I'm Bella Morello, your Bird's Eye View producer. In this September edition of Bird's Eye View, we'll be diving into the massive tax and spending cuts bill, referred to as the One Big Beautiful Bill, and how it recently passed into Congress and how this will affect the Bloomington Normal area.
And I'm Colleen Holden, your co-host. This bill has such far-reaching impacts, it's important that we get into exactly what those impacts are. But before we get into it, how are you doing today, Bella?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm great, as always.
Love to hear it. Stick with us after the break as we take a closer look at what this bill entails, how it passed Congress, and some of the local impacts.
This is WZND's Bird's Eye View.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This bill has been a large topic of debate recently, but what exactly does it change and how did it pass?
That's a great question. Let's take a look at the legislative process behind this bill and what the opposing and supporting sides had to say on it. I spoke with Associate Professor in the Department of Politics and Government here at ISU on this topic. A massive spending and tax bill that includes signature policies of President Donald Trump, often referred to as the Big Beautiful Bill, was signed into law on July 4, 2025. Associate Professor in the Department of Politics and Government at ISU, Megan Leonard, provided a quick overview of the bill.
That was designed by Republicans after they won the presidency, House, and Senate in the 2024 elections as a massive tax cut bill. So it does a long list of things.
At the center of the bill stands an extension of Trump's 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. A main focus of the bill is reducing taxes for corporations and individuals, while reducing government spending by cutting programs like Medicaid and SNAP. For legislation to pass in the House of Representatives, it requires the support of a majority. With Republicans holding the majority in both chambers of Congress, they had the necessary votes to advance the bill. This majority was further solidified by the unfortunate passing of three Democratic members shortly before the vote. Leonard also provided an explanation of the process by which the bill passed through the Senate.
That is a very complicated process, but generally what it means is that the bill had to offset any of the cuts in taxes or any of the cuts in what would be paid to the government with cuts in spending.
With this process, the Senate only needed 51 votes to pass the bill instead of 60. According to Leonard, the presidency played a major role in the passing of this bill.
I think that President Trump has a very strong grasp on the Republican Party in ways that other presidents haven't. I think members of the Republican Party who might otherwise have been concerned about voting for this legislation, particularly because of the cuts to Medicaid, were pushed through over the edge because they feared things like getting a primary opponent in the next election.
Leonard believes the congressional Republicans were primarily motivated by a desire to reduce taxes in any way possible. She explained what they stood to gain by advancing this bill.
There's a general feeling that the government is just not working. So by being able to do something as simple as passing legislation, they can go back to their constituents and say, you know, we did something.
On the opposing side, we have congressional Democrats with a lot of focus on cutting Medicaid. Leonard shared why this might be.
What's going to happen as a result to the cuts to Medicaid is that hospitals will be reimbursed less. There will be a lot of rural hospitals that will have to close because they just simply won't have enough money to continue to operate. It doesn't, in a lot of ways, benefit those who fundamentally need government support the most for the most basic things, which are, right, healthcare and food.
According to Leonard, the ground response to this bill has not been well received so far. She provided some closing remarks.
This is what Republicans said that they wanted to do, and they were able to accomplish it. It cuts a lot of money in revenue. It will contribute pretty significantly to the national debt. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what role some of these provisions play in the 2026 election.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Bella Morello. We've talked a lot about what went into the passing of this bill, but what does that mean for the Bloomington Normal community? How will this affect me?
That's a super important question to consider. The bill is a federal piece of legislation, but that does not mean that local communities are immune to repercussions. I spoke with McLean County Democratic Chair Patrick Cortese to get an idea of what his party believes is next for McLean County with this new bill.
At nearly 1,000 pages long, it's no secret that the Big Beautiful Bill is in fact big. But whether or not the legislation in it is beautiful is a hotly contested subject garnering varying opinions across the political spectrum. Patrick Cortese is the chair of the McLean County Democrats. He explained the organization's disdain for the bill from a progressive perspective and how he predicts it will impact us federally and locally.
We don't think it's a big, beautiful bill at all. We think it's the exact opposite. And the reason being is it redistributes wealth from the poorest people, the people who need it the most, to the richest top 1% of the country.
The Big Beautiful Bill passed by a vote of 218 to 214 back in July, with all 218 votes in favor coming from the Republican side of the House, according to official Congress records. In a statement, White House spokeswoman Abigail Jackson called the bill, quote, an encapsulation of the campaign promises that the American people elected President Trump to enact. However, Cortese is not sure the aforementioned promise will benefit the demographic that needs it the most.
Whatever benefits come out of it is not enough. The vast majority of people in this county and in this country are going to see zero benefit. If anything, it's going to hurt.
Despite its status as federal legislation, Cortese expects certain aspects of these new rules to trickle down into local communities.
A lot of our local family farms, the smaller farms in McLean County, sell a lot of their goods to organizations that deal with SNAP benefits, right? So if they're not handing out food items to folks who need it, then they've got no place to sell it. And then thanks to Trump's tariffs, they've got no international market to sell their goods to either.
McLean County is a unique area in terms of age demographic and resident turnover, with over 20,000 residents being a student at ISU, Illinois Wesleyan, or Heartland Community College at any given time. This means the county could be subject to a whole new set of repercussions.
If there are students on campus right now and their parents should lose their job or they need federal aid in helping to feed themselves, that goes away with this bill. Let's say, I'm going to assume, you know, most college students are working a job of some sort, right? A little part-time job or whatever. You don't have to put that money towards your tuition and fees. That means you can spend it in our community, right? You can go out to a coffee house or coffee house. That money then stays in our community. But if you now have to take every dollar that you have and put it towards loans or put it towards your tuition, then you're not putting it back into the community.
The Big Beautiful Bill has been approved for months now, but the McLean County Democrats are still looking for solutions to minimize their projected outcomes on the area.
Your best thing that we can do as a county party is put good people into elected offices so they can stand up and protect and advocate for students on campus at ISU, at Wesleyan, at Heartland, as well as other members of our community.
The enforcement stage of the legislature in the Big Beautiful Bill is still in its infancy, with certain acts such as Medicaid cuts expected to go into effect in December of 2026. Only time will tell just how prominent these predicted effects will become in McLean County. 88th District Republican Representative Reagan Deering declined to comment on the matter. McLean County Republican Chair Dennis Grenler could not be reached for an interview. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Colleen Holden.
Stick with us after the break to investigate how this bill will affect Medicaid, SNAP, and student loans.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. To account for the massive cuts in government revenue, equal government spending cuts were added to the bill with funding for Medicaid, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, usually referred to as SNAP, and student loans taking a hard hit.
With roughly 1 in 5 Americans enrolled in Medicaid and around 12% of Americans enrolled in SNAP benefits, cutting funding for these programs could have large and long-lasting effects.
Let's dive into some of these effects right now. WZND's June Delahunty took a look at the two line items in the bill that have garnered the most online attention.
Two of the largest federal programs hit by the Big Beautiful Bill were SNAP, perhaps better known as food stamps, and Medicaid. These are both programs designed to help low-income Americans meet their basic needs, born out of the belief that it's the government's duty to serve its people. Manager of the School Street Food Pantry, Elaine Capek, talks about the instability people are now facing.
Our economy is not in a real stable place as of right now, and there's just so many more things that students have to contend with. And we have seen the number of students that are utilizing the pantry also increasing.
The School Street Food Pantry was created in 2018, and while it's not directly connected to SNAP, both are treatments for the same symptom, food insecurity.
Any cuts that the government is making is trickling down, and it's creating individual problems. Students, families, they're the bottom, and they're the ones that have to pay more for the product.
Capek says about 40% of college students nationwide face food insecurity, and she sees similar numbers in our community. As for Medicaid, the Government Accountability Office reported it being a huge success for college students, reducing the number of uncovered students nationwide to only 7.7%.
State and local governments, their hands are also tied a bit, but we have also gotten support from local entities, folks that want to help the solution.
So, with all these cuts, how can people help the solution? The funding gaps created are far too large for any state to fill in, but that doesn't mean that nothing can be done.
Really just reach out to the individual pantries to see what their current needs are. Our current needs kind of change depending on what items get donated to us.
Ultimately, there are plenty of people on the ground level trying to do good for their communities. Supporting people that the government has decided not to is a massive and endless task. And although no individual can fix this problem, the only way to move in the right direction is by putting in the work. For Bird's Eye View, I'm June Delahunty.
It was really eye-opening to hear how broadly relied on these services are and the way the distribution of them has been reinvented.
Definitely. The relationship between these changes and local organizations was very interesting as well. However, Medicaid and SNAP are only two pieces of the bill's promises. WZND's Allie Cooper dove into the changes being made to the student loan process.
The Big Beautiful Bill could shape how Illinois students pay for college. These changes are significant, especially for students and families relying on Parent PLUS loans. I had the opportunity to speak to a representative from both Illinois State University and Illinois Wesleyan University to learn more about the BBB's impact on public and private institutions. ISU's Interim Assistant Director of Loan Processing and Student Employment, Nathan Eaton, said that beginning July 1st of 2026, Parent PLUS loans will be capped.
But for any new parents who are borrowing under that Parent PLUS loan system starting next school year, they'll be limited to only be able to borrow up to $20,000 each school year. And that essentially it's a $20,000 cap for the student. So even if both their parents apply for a Parent PLUS loan combined, they're still limited to that $20,000 per year. And then also a new lifetime limit being added of $65,000 over that student's college career.
Assistant Director of Financial Aid at Illinois Wesleyan University, Alicia Correll, discussed the anticipated impact of changes to the Parent PLUS loan on private school funding.
Being a more expensive school, we could run into some issues there with having parents not being able to fully fund their students' financial aid. That would make parents and students have to reach out to private lenders, which could be at higher interest rates, not necessarily, but it also they have more strict guidelines on who can and can't be accepted. So it could be a problem for those borderline credit individuals who can get the federal Parent PLUS loan but won't be eligible for a private loan.
First-generation college students could also face new challenges. Eaton said the biggest concern is the gap in funding that many of these students already struggle with.
They could be running into more funding gaps in their ability to pay for their education. Like I said, especially as they're getting later in their college career, hitting that lifetime limit for what that Parent PLUS loan eligibility will be, they'll be running into those challenges for sure.
Correll mentioned how the BBB will most specifically impact financial aid when it comes to national private institutions.
The private sector is going to have what they call a higher tax on endowments. What that means is the really rich schools who have a lot of funding in their endowment could get an excise tax on those funds, which usually they then use to turn around and fund their scholarships to their students. So when they get taxed more on those, then that may that will directly correlate to a lesser amount of scholarship that they are able to to do for their students.
These changes mark one of the most dramatic transformations of U.S. student loan policy in decades. Students at both public and private schools will feel the effects, but those at more expensive colleges may have harder choices to make. For students, parents, and future college goers in the Bloomington Normal area, this is a key time to review financial aid plans, explore scholarships, and reduce reliance on loans. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Allie Cooper.
After the break, we'll dive into tip taxation, the impact on local businesses, and the economic effects of this bill.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. So far, we've covered what the Big Beautiful Bill is and how it passed, its possible federal and local impacts, and how it plans to change the processes of Medicare, SNAP benefits, and student loans.
Tip taxation was another line item in the bill that sparked discourse in the media. WZND's Nathan Siak examined what exactly will be changed in the tipping system and what this means for McLean County businesses and workers.
One of the things President Trump campaigned on was taking away taxes on tipped wages. This change was planned to be included in the Big Beautiful Bill, but in fact, the bill does not eliminate taxes on tips. Instead, it offers a $25,000 deduction for tipped workers. So while the bill provides a tax break, it does not eliminate the need to pay federal income tax on tips. But how much will that really change day-to-day life for local businesses? Joe Slane, general manager of Medici in Uptown Normal, speaks on the impact.
And I think that a lot of it, even though the parts of it they pushed down to where, you know, the no taxes on tips and all that stuff is so buried in paperwork and so regulated and certain that it's going to really affect very few people, especially our staff. It won't affect that really that much at all.
Slane has run Medici for nearly 15 years. He says the bigger squeeze is still cost of goods and labor and customers who are more careful about dining out.
You know, cost of our labor, the cost of food, the less people spending money. It's been a real tough time the last few years since COVID. And the problem is we don't really see any end in sight there right now. It only seems like it could probably get much worse.
Those costs affect the staff as well. With unsteady business since the pandemic, Slane said he's had to shrink the schedule and the team.
Right now, from what we were pre-COVID, we are about half of the staff that we usually have overall. Which is, you know, we used to run a staff between 90 and 100, and right now we're running a staff under 60.
Across the street at Pub 2, General Manager Luke Rokas doesn't expect the deduction to change how people tip, but he does expect price and product adjustments to keep pace with inflation.
I'm sorry, most customers don't realize that servers are paid a smaller wage. They can be paid 60% minimum wage, and the rest should be made up by tips. No, I don't think that will change how people tip.
Rokas points to small but telling changes, like shelving a homecoming tradition because the math no longer works.
It's funny that you mentioned the tariffs. Like, a tradition for us was homecomings coming up. We used to always have nice plastic keeper cups that we would buy, and people would take a stack home with them and whatnot. We're not doing that this year because the cups are going to cost $1.50 a piece instead of the 75, 60 cents they used to be.
For both managers, the bottom line is this. A tip income deduction may give workers a modest boost, but the day-to-day survival of local restaurants still comes down to inflation, inputs, and whether or not the dining room is filled with customers. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Nathan Sehack.
With so much change to the government, taxation, and spending, we could be looking at a dramatic change in the federal economic landscape.
That's right. Exactly what changes will we see?
Let's look more into that topic. WZND's Luke Biondi dove into the economic ramifications that came along with the passing of this bill.
The Big Beautiful Bill's effects on the local economy will likely prove, to say the least, multifaceted. From changes in healthcare to social welfare programs to education, it seems like there isn't a corner of the economy left unaddressed by this expansive piece of legislation. Dr. George Waters, macroeconomist and professor of economics at Illinois State University, believes that many of the bill's changes have a strong possibility of impacting Bloomington Normal's economy. One of the Big Beautiful Bill's headline excerpts pertains to Medicaid and Medicaid eligibility. Because of the alterations the bill made to work requirements and other eligibility criteria, analysts suggest that millions of Americans may soon lose healthcare coverage. Waters believes that local healthcare institutions may experience a revenue loss due to this mass loss of coverage. He also suggested that the loss of coverage could have more widespread impacts, particularly on workforce productivity and elder care.
People get sick and they can't get care, then they can't go to work.
Yeah.
So that's one. Another one that's not maybe directly with hospitals and doctors is nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people rely heavily on Medicaid for nursing home care.
The Big Beautiful Bill also includes a section increasing taxes on university endowments. Illinois State University has a relatively small endowment per student, around $11,000, but this portion of the bill may impact schools that rely more heavily on their endowment funds to a greater extent.
You know, like a school like Harvard has a huge endowment, and they'll have to pay more money. On the other hand, it's so huge, you know, they don't. It's not going to hit them as hard. So it really depends on, like I said, you know, smaller schools will pay less, but if they really rely on that endowment for their day-to-day funding, then it could hurt.
A $5 trillion increase in the national debt limit was attached to the bill. While $5 trillion is an exorbitant amount of money, it becomes less intimidating when contextualized within the scale of the American economy. Waters claims there are some popular misconceptions about the national debt limit.
You know, the right way to think about deficits and debts is as a percentage of GDP.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, the GDP is always going up, so, you know, it's not uncommon for the deficit to go up. So that debt limit really doesn't mean anything. That's mostly a political tool.
Do you feel like some analysts covering the Big Beautiful Bill, they kind of use, you know, $5 trillion's a big number. Do you think they kind of use that as a scare tactic to push a narrative?
Sure. People always toss around big. I mean, that's what you do to scare people, is toss around big numbers. I should add that the projections on the deficit and debt as a percentage of GDP are not good. You know, they're projected to go up on their own. So, but that debt limit is just not the right number to focus on.
Yeah.
Lastly, Bill's repeal of the U.S. law exempting imports of less than $800 from certain taxes will have impacts felt throughout the domestic economy. Not only will the cost of certain imported goods increase, but domestically produced goods that rely on imported components may also become more expensive.
It also hurts businesses. A lot of businesses import their kind of inputs into production, so that's the biggest concern going forward.
Like components for iPhones and things like
sure,
that.
Sure, any components, any raw materials that are imported, that's the biggest concern on the production side.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Luke Biondi.
As we've seen, the Big Beautiful Bill was written with the intention of reinventing the way several widespread services and systems are conducted on a broad scale. It's been a polarizing topic since it passed in July, but these changes have not taken effect and will not be enforced for some time.
That's right, Colleen. A vital part of the democratic process is understanding the ramifications and local effects of bills that pass through Congress. With a detailed understanding of this bill, you can stay informed and you can form your own opinions on the passing of it, because your opinion matters.
Thanks for tuning in to this month's episode of Bird's Eye View. If you missed any part of today's episode, you can find the full episode on WZND.com. See you next month.
This has been WZND's Bird's Eye View. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Second Look and Bird's Eye View. For previous episodes, find Bird's Eye View on the podcast tab at WZND.com.